Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Robin Christofferson.
Oh, hello. Yes, welcome along again to another show. It is Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. He is Robin Christofferson. How are you, sir?
Really good. Hello to all listeners around the world and Andy. Oh, and Steve.
Oh, yeah, Andy as well. Yeah, I suppose we'd better say hello to him. Hello, Andy.
Hello. Hello to you both. Hello.
I was going to call you Sighted Guy Andy for such a long time, but that feels a little bit like labelling, and I don't like that.
Well, the previous occupants to this chair was Sighted Guy Chris.
That's true. That's not why he left.
I'm just Andy. Yeah.
He is just Andy, but not any Andy. He is our Andy.
The Andy.
Andy Pandy with all the emails, and have we got an email inbox to go through? Honestly, it is incredible the amount of emails we've got.
Jam-packed.
Thank you so much for getting in touch. We really do appreciate it, don't we, Robin?
We do. Absolutely. Keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming. And also, you can record audio as well on your phone if you want to. Lots of you doing that now. You can just record some audio on your iPhone or your Android device and just email it into us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Get in touch and tell us what you think about the show. But, you know, be nice. And also, you know, you can get in touch and share your views. We're also asking Tech Talk again today. Who's our question from this week, Andy?
It was from Steve.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the other Stephen in the room, but it's another Steve.
It's not me. No. But this is an interesting one. We're going to be talking about the Victor Reader Stream, I believe, and getting music onto it.
Yes.
Which is something which a lot of people are quite keen to do. So we're going to talk about that. Ask Tech Talk on the way. And Robin, you're reviewing again. What are you reviewing this week?
I can't help myself. Yeah. When you said the other Steve in the room, I wanted to say the elephant in the room, but that wasn't.
How dare you? How dare you?
I decided not to go there.
Yes.
You know, one thing about elephants, they never forget, Robin. Just saying.
Yeah.
So what are you reviewing this week?
Yeah, so this is adding more sounds. So yeah, right, quite right. I'm just bracing myself for feedback because I took sounds away in my last demo when
you
I
did.
Was looking at haptic feedback. So yeah, bringing them back into Microsoft Office.
All right, okay, into Office. So you want sounds there, but you don't want sounds in your on your iPhone, because you're right. You're taking that off. iOS 13 is literally around the corner. We're going to talk later in the news about Apple's event, which is now confirmed for September 10th. Are you excited?
I'm incredibly excited. Unfortunately, the timing isn't fantastic for us, is it? But we'll cover it in all its glory the week after.
Yeah, it is kind of annoying, actually. I'd quite like to talk about it on the show next week, but of course, it won't have happened by the time we go out next week. But we will, as you say, we'll be covering it the week after on the show, so definitely we'll keep you up to date. I'll be honest, I think these events have kind of lost something a little bit for me. Because, you know, it used to be it was a big, big deal, and it is to some extent, but of course so many companies now are starting to do these big events. Google do them with the I.O. events, Samsung's events, Microsoft have events now, even Amazon occasionally will have an event, although they tend to just drop new kit. So, you know, you're not getting the kind of pizzazz, the kind of unusualness of these tech events anymore, but I guess for us as blind people, Apple, with all of its hardware always being accessible, maybe that's where the differences are. What do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, there is a lot of leaks this year, as there have been in recent years, which takes some of the kind of excitement or anticipation out of it.
Yeah.
But there might be one more thing. You never know. It might be glasses, smart glasses.
No,
so that, you know,
I give that
a 2 to 3% likelihood, but that I'm still excited.
That's not going to happen. Okay,
it has been rumoured in one of the
What would you bet
so
on
let's
it?
See.
What would you bet me on it right now for smart glasses?
50p.
50 pence. He knows how to spend it, doesn't he?
That's my maximum.
Well, okay, 50 pence down, right? I'll get 50 pence. Andy will give me a loan of it. And
I saw that coming, yeah.
Yeah.
A stretch to a Greg's pasty. How's that?
Well, I must say now I'm going to raise the stakes somewhat. You mentioned food. Right, okay. Well, let's get into this week's show because we've got so much to get through. And emails, we have lots. Let's read them.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Yeah, lots of emails coming in. And
ringing my doorbell there.
I was ringing your email doorbell. Yeah, I still don't understand the doorbell.
Nope.
Right, let's get into the email inbox then.
So the first one is from Kelly. She says, "Hi gang, I've just received a letter from Synaptic, and Synaptic has 20 new features in which you can download onto your existing phone or tablet."
Okay, well, hold on. Before we get into that, just to say, if people don't know what Synaptic is, it is, I kind of call it the third option when it comes to smartphones. You've got iPhones, you've got Android, and then you've got these specialist devices which give you as much functionality but a much easier way to use. And it's very good for visually impaired people, those who've got some useful vision, and for those who are totally blind, it might be even easier than trying to learn how Android or iPhone text-to-speech or screen reader software works. They often come preloaded onto an Android phone, and you can get them from Synaptic directly or from Sight and Sound or even from RNIB as well. But okay, so that's the phones, but they've got some new updates.
There's some new updates, yes. So once you've updated the software, they all become available. You can now install Audible Books, Amazon Music, Lady A, and so on.
Wow.
However, you need, or you may need, a sighted person to help you when it comes to updating your phone.
Boo.
That's the first thing, she says. The second thing is that Be My Eyes have now got their own podcast.
Oh, have they now? Oh, really? Have they? Oh, yeah.
It is available on Apple, so you can get it on your iPhone. It's also available on Spotify. Not available yet on Lady A. And Kelly says, "Before I go, I have a suggestion to RNIB. Why can't we have access to RNIB talking books on Lady A?"
Well,
it will make a lot of sense, she says, and it also means it'll be more accessible.
Very true. Kelly, thank you for your email. And actually, you know, that email did come in before our interview. Probably a bit of catch-up this week on the show. That came in before our interview with Alison Long from RNIB last week. If you've managed to skip ahead and not hear that interview, I'd strongly encourage you to go back and listen to it. Alison last week getting lots of reaction on this week's programme and in the inbox. We are going to collate all those questions that you've been sending in, by the way, for those of you who have been sending in questions for the Talking Book service following that interview. We're going to collate them all, put them back to Alison. A lot of questions being asked, Robin, things like no mention of the Victor Reader Stream. How would people be able to access books there? Someone also getting in touch and asking questions about Daisy players, or even not so much Daisy players, but USB talking book players, like the Solo, which is on sale from Kings, the new one that's, if I say it's on sale, it's actually just coming out from Kings. And essentially you can have a little USB stick, you can plug it straight in to the device and you can play your books. The question being, well, hang on, if this is all changing and, you know, Overdrive is going to turn into something else, will we still be able to do that? Well, all these questions need an answer. So I think it would be appropriate for us to go back to Alison with those questions and many of them. But actually, directly to Kelly's question, the answer is in development. Alison Long from RNIB told us last week on the show that Lady A will be part of development for the Talking Books library. And although it won't be available at launch, around about September, October time, not sure when, but it certainly won't be that long, they are hoping to bring out the Lady A skill, which means we'll be able to listen to Talking Books from RNIB on Lady A. I think that's big news.
Really good. Looking forward to that. I have a quick tip on the Be My Eyes. You can't play it on the A Lady. She's absolutely right. You have to, it's not enough to be subscribed or kind of entered into the Apple Podcasts directory, which is a manual process for people that are creating a podcast. You also then have to jump through another hoop to make sure that TuneIn is aware of it as well. And that's where by default, the A-Lady gets her podcast from. But there's a brilliant skill on the A-Lady called MyPod. And MyPod can play loads of different podcasts. But another thing that you can do is you can go to the associated website and you can manually put in a URL, a feed URL to a podcast that can't be played on the A-Lady. And I've done that for Be My Eyes and I've made it a public link. So anyone, you can just say, A-Lady, ask my pod to play the Be My Eyes podcast and it will play for you. And so that's kind of a workaround until they are able to get it formally on the A-Lady.
So hang on a minute. So you fixed this. You fixed the internet for
fixed
Kelly.
Fixed it for her, my pleasure.
Well, hang on a minute. No, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But hang on a minute. You're telling people to listen to something else. How dare you?
Well, ours already works, so, you know, we need to have a little bit of sympathy for the underdog.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Be My Eyes, amazing. I'm really keen to hear this podcast, actually, hear what they're doing with it. So, yeah, I think it's great because what it does is it gives us an idea of what the new features will be. And, you know, Be My Eyes, big friends of the show as well, Alexandra and the team who do such wonderful work in that app. And, of course, thank you to all the volunteers as well who take the time to give us their time. Yeah, it's a really interesting one. That's a great little skill, actually. So how do you put the URL in? Is that through a website or...?
So when you create when you enable MyPod on the A-Lady, you can link it to an account. You don't have to, but if you want to be able to add your own, you can link it to an account. Mm. And I'll give you another top tip. If you have some audio files, for example, I think even some video files, if you've got an Echo Show, say, you can put them in Dropbox. You can take the Dropbox link, you can put that in the MyPod website, and it will stream that too.
Wow.
So you can basically, I mean, you can do this with the Plex skill. There are various ways that you can kind of get your own media into the A-Lady. But the benefit of this one is that it can get around a lot of problems with other podcasts not being available. You can give it a name. So I know the Dot to Dot podcast. I don't know if you've heard of that one. It's a daily Echo skills podcast.
Is it terrible?
But it's what is terrible is the name, because Dot to Dot is really hard to be recognised, and she often gets it wrong. So you could create a MyPod link, and you could say play the Pretty Good A-Lady podcast, and then it would actually go away and get that link. So there's lots of really clever things you can do with the MyPod A-Lady skill, and I would thoroughly recommend people having a look.
I like this guy on, Andy. He knows things.
Yeah.
He knows stuff. Well, Kelly, you know, I think you got more help than you'll ever need there. That's brilliant. Thank you for that, Robin. Right, let's get to another email.
Lucy's got in contact with us as well. She says she hasn't emailed before, but I have a strange query which I'm wondering if you could explore.
No such thing as strange.
Because I would be interested if anyone else has this difficulty. I use an iPhone XR, and ever since I got it, I have been unable to find my book collection on the Books app, which was previously known as iBooks. Mm-hmm. Ever since the transition to the new app, I can't find a lot of my books. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I had over 500 audiobooks that I had bought through iTunes when I first got my Apple ID.
Wow.
My problem is the fact that when I go to find one of the books I previously downloaded in my library through the iTunes store, it says that I need to pay for it a second time. It doesn't show up as a download button anymore. I've checked my previously purchased items and they're not there either. Can anyone shed any light on this? Is there anything I can do to solve the problem? I know I have an Audible now, as well, and it would be a shame to lose the collection when I spent so much money on it. I've been building it up for years. Any help would be greatly appreciated, and I hope that my email makes sense. Hope you are all well. I love the podcasts. Take care, everyone, from Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy. That is a very... that's pretty horrendous, actually. 500-odd books, and they're all gone. I mean, that can't be right, Robin.
And audiobooks aren't cheap either. So, no, yeah, no. That's an amazing collection. So if you look online, then there are various suggestions. You can go into the books section of settings, the settings app on your phone, and you can turn off syncing. And then you can restart your phone and then turn it back on. That's one of the suggestions. But because she's not seeing any of the purchases in her purchase history, I don't personally think that will work. I think it's a call to Apple customer support if your purchases aren't showing up at all. So I don't think it's necessarily a syncing issue. It's something about some data issue. They should have a record of all the purchases that you've made.
Yeah, the only other thing it could be, I mean, I'm just guessing here, but, you know, I'm assuming, Lucy, that you're using the same account that you've always used. You've not no one's logged you out and logged you into a different account. Because ultimately, if it's been bought, I mean, it's interesting you bring this up, because very recently I'd gone into my purchase list and there were things in there. I'm thinking, did I buy that? I did, you know, videos and maybe shows or whatever I'd watched. And, you know, maybe the audio episode. I tended to use iTunes in the old days for, you know, for videos, maybe a show I had maybe missed an episode on. So I'd go back and get it. But, you know, it's still there. And I did notice something last night. I moved my library. I was doing some mucking around with my iTunes, and I moved my library from one place to another on the computer. And all the music that I'd already previously downloaded said it was downloaded, but I couldn't find it anywhere. And the only way I could get it back was to remove it from the library using the Actions menu and then download it again. Now, I'm not saying that would solve your problem here, Lucy, but it does tell me that, you know, oftentimes that connection between the purchase and the item gets lost. So, you know, I mean, could it be maybe better for Lucy to maybe just try and sign out, sign in again? I know you're kind of suggesting that, but...
Yeah, I would definitely try the turning off the syncing option first and then restarting your phone, because why not, you know? And then if that doesn't work, get onto Apple.
It should appear even just as a purchase, even if you can't, even if you haven't got it on your phone, it should still appear as a purchase.
Yeah,
could I ask,
absolutely.
Do they send receipts still? Apple, when you purchase something, do they send email receipt?
Yeah.
So if you're one of these people who archives your emails rather than just straight up deletes them, you may get the receipt from an old purchase and you may be able to find it that way. Possibly.
True. Or, I mean, you know, I think the best course of action here is to contact Apple directly. Mm-hmm. They should be able to log in and know exactly what you've bought. And if you've bought over 500 books, it shouldn't be hard to find. So that's too much to lose, frankly. Well, let us know how you got on, Lucy. Sorry we can't be more help than that, but without knowing the exact specifics of your situation, it's hard to know. Try Robin's idea, and then if that doesn't work, then blame him. Excellent.
I suppose one other quick point would be to go to the book in the bookstore, in the iTunes store, and if it says re-download rather than purchase, then you're laughing. But
I must say that purchase thing is interesting, because I've done that. I've gone to songs that I've maybe already purchased. Mm-hmm. And it'll say, oh no, actually, I tell like apps. It happens with apps all the time. Buy the app, it's maybe $7.99. And as soon as I go to download it, it'll say $7.99, say for the app. You click on it, and then it will say to you, you don't have to pay for this because you already purchased it. Do you want to download it? So maybe just for a laugh, go to a book you definitely know you've bought.
Yep.
Try downloading it, or try buying it, and it should, in theory, do it. Should download it then, if you've definitely got that book. It's worth a
try.
You can
always stop short of putting your thumb on the Touch ID or whatever it is,
Face
ID,
that's right,
to do the actual final purchase. So yeah, that's a good, really good point.
Okay, good luck with it, Lucy. Let us know how you got on. And thank you for being a first-time writer-inner.
A writer-inner.
A writer-inner. That doesn't sound right, does it? I'll get my English right for the next one. Right, what else have we got?
Hi all, says Sue. You can easily transfer books to the stream with the Audible Manager. Once you have the manager set up and your stream activated, yes, a bit of a fiddle, but you can easily transfer books.
So on this one, this is interesting because this, of course, ties into a conversation we had a couple of weeks back, but maybe more than a couple of weeks back now, actually, when I was talking about issues getting books over to the stream using the Audible Manager on the PC. Sorry, Andy.
Before you download a book, plug it into your Victor and turn it on, then open Audible Manager. And now choose and buy your book in the usual way. And when you go to your library to download the book, just do this as you normally would, and the book will download and then automatically be transferred to your stream. I've been doing it this way for years, and it always works as long as you open the manager first. I am using Supernova Screen Reader. The one thing to remember is that you can have one card registered at any one time. So always make sure you keep one just for Audible if you change cards.
That's the SD card we're talking about.
Your SD card, not your credit card. Yeah. I use one big card with all of my RNIB books and Audible books on it, as well as music and text files. Hope this helps. That's from Sue.
No, it does. It does help a lot, Sue. Thank you for that. And it is something I'm still trying to get my head around how it all works. But it does. I mean, that's the thing. It does work. It seems to just be more steps than it needs to be in some ways. And I think that's the issue that I face. And of course, Robin's going to say, well, ha ha ha, you will buy one of these things. You could just use your phone.
Lest we forget, on iPhone, you can't purchase, you have to jump through a hoop on there as well because they don't want to pay the 30% that Apple insists on. So you can't actually buy things through the Audible app either. So yeah, you have to kind of go around the houses to get a book on your phone.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's get to another email.
Hello, Stephen and Robin. This is from Kowal. I missed the show last week as I accidentally deleted my podcast feed as I listen using Downcast.
Ooh.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Oh, you got it back.
Yes. Otherwise, he wouldn't be listening, would he?
Yeah.
Anyway, my Talking Combi microwave is 7 years old and I am surprised that it's lasted this long. I have a question to ask the listeners. At the moment, if I am to buy anything over the phone, I am expected to key in my card number due to rules and regulations. However, I am a Braille user and I can't remember numbers due to my eye condition as I had too much oxygen due to prematurity, which probably damaged part of my brain as well. Although I have good Braille skills, when I have to key in my card number, there is not enough time to key in as you have to be very quick about doing it. I can't use speech to do this because I can't remember the numbers and I need them at the tip of my fingers. Has anyone else had the problem where they key in their details but the process does not let you take too long to do this? I am wishing to know what people think. Many thanks from Kowal.
I don't think you're alone in that one, Kowal, at all. It's one of the challenges of modern life, actually, is trying to use these automated pay systems where you end up, you've got so much time to essentially put in your card number, because what it's waiting for is, I think, the star at the end or hash or whatever it is you press at the end. And if it doesn't get that, it kind of times out. So if you've only got so much time to put it in. I mean, I'll be honest, I am pretty bad. I don't know about you, Robin, but when it comes to those automated systems, I just hit star repeatedly until it gets fed up and puts me through to someone.
That's a good tip. For me, I mean, I'm in exactly the same position. If you have a dictaphone when you're out and about and you need to do this, then just record your card. I mean, this is, you know, there are security implications here as well, but record the number with big pauses, but not too big.
I think Kowal's problem, though, is she can't do that. I think that's the issue, that, you know, she can't manage to hear the number, remember it, and then repeat it. She needs it in Braille form.
Well, I think she's saying she can't access it by on speech because she's
trying to hear two things,
transferring her fingers between, say, the Braille display or the key to arrow to the next number and then back up to the phone keypad and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, more information probably is required, but either a recorded dictaphone message or if you are in front of your computer, then create a little text file which you can either arrow through, or just if you want to have both hands doing the entering on the keypad on your phone, then just put commas in between each number so that it can give you a little bit more time. The comma doesn't actually give you a massive gap. It depends on the synthesizer that you use. So actually what I would recommend is, say the first three digits were 5, 6, 7, have three fives with commas in between. So it's just repeating 5 3 times and then it goes to the 6 3 times. And that will give you lots of time to punch them in on the keypad. So yeah, they're all clunky. Yeah. But, and maybe listeners have got much better suggestions.
I think that's a great question to put out to the audience this week. Mm-hmm. What would you do? What do you do when it comes to entering your number in? I mean, I'm like you. I tend to use the old text file method. And funnily enough, when you and I started working together on this show, I remember you said to me, which I think was the best thing you ever said, which was, let's just use text files. When we're communicating, just use text files. Okay. Because we don't need the fancy layouts and the graphics and all the rest. It doesn't interest us. We just want the text information. And of course, it's not so resource hungry on a computer. So you can be guaranteed when you hit the right arrow, it's actually going to move somewhere and it will read it. So yeah, it is good for that. I'll be honest, I'm like you, Kowal, an interesting little side swipe of my condition that I've got, nystagmus, is what's termed in the community among the group of wobbly-eyed people, as I am one, is number dyslexia. And it sounds a bit bizarre, right? But I can look, years ago anyway, when I could see better, I could look at a word and I could look at a series of words and I would get them. I'd be like, you know, have a receipt. I can see that. But a phone number it could take me 5 or 6 or even 7 times before I could get that number in my head to actually, you know, to put it on a phone. And I think it's partly driven by the fact that because nystagmus is indeed wobbly eyes, your eyes are constantly moving, it's trying to single out those numbers. So in my head, they're all just moving around all over the place and it's confusing me. So it's a bit of a, it's an interesting little sidekick that I get along with the nystagmus. The upside of having lesser vision these days is I don't have that problem as much. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. But anyway, hope that helps, Kamal, and I hope that we can get some answers for you as well, because I think it'd be nice if we could all maybe chime in with our thoughts. How do you input your card number and what do you use for that? Interesting question. Of course, can I just quickly say a big shout out to the Mac, which does autofill on websites. And if it wasn't for that, I don't know where I'd be sometimes, because you can just autofill your card information. No hassle at all. Love that feature. Yep. Andy,
email. Yeah, this next one's from Jim. Hi, could you suggest a couple of methods to record either JAWS or NVDA speech, a reading from text or documents, so that they can be added to a podcast? I've heard your own recordings of this type of speech recording, and it sounds nice and clear. Mine doesn't, and it sounds suspiciously like that older guy with a very funny accent you used to work with. Thanks, that's from Jim.
Which one?
We worked with a lot of older, funny guys.
Okay, well, this is an interesting one. So you want to record essentially the output from JAWS. So in my setup here, I've got a big desk, a big studio mixing desk, and it's got lots of faders and buttons and things I'm scared of. And what we can do is we can have the sound of JAWS come through on one of those little faders, and then we can record it back into the computer itself, right? And that's obviously fine, but, you know, I don't think you're planning to spend £12,000 or so to do this. So the quickest way of doing it that I've found, I've done this at home a couple of times, and it does depend on your computer, and it depends on umpteen factors, and I don't know how Windows 10 plays with this, Robin, but I used to use the stereo mix option on the PC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go into the recording settings and sometimes it'd be disabled. So you maybe have to enable some of the disabled or hidden features here to do this. But if there is an option for stereo mix for recording in your recording settings on your Windows computer, what that'll let you do is anything that's playing out of your computer, anything you can hear, can be played back in. So if you've got something like Audacity on there, you can open up Audacity, hit record, and it should, in theory, record the sound that you're playing out. So if you get JAWS to read something, and the way I do it is just paste it into the text edit or Notepad. I get mixed up between Apple and PC, but on PC it's Notepad. If you just open up Notepad, type in a few words, and get JAWS to read them back, just use your reading keys to do that. What you will find is if you want things to be read properly, so you can use them in that way, maybe for a podcast or whatever, you probably want to think about how you spell your words. You know, acronyms tend to be better than they used to be, but sometimes you get words that just don't quite work. I'm trying to think of one I remember recently that I had this problem with. It just would not say it properly. I can't remember what it was. But
people's names and things are...
Yeah, sometimes names and things. You've got to maybe spell them almost phonetically, almost, you know, kind of muck around with the words a little bit to get the right... the right sound to make it say it the way you want it to say it. That'd be my tip on that. Robin?
Yeah, so there's a couple of software applications that are relatively cheap. Soundflower for Windows and Audio Hijack for Mac can do that in a kind of a virtual way. They can virtually take the output and put it back into the sound card input. So have a look at those. There's a really good free app called DSpeech. That's DSpeech, DSpeech. It's free. Just search for DSpeech. You can download it, and there it will take any text file and save it off as an MP3.
Well, that's even better.
You can choose which synthesizer you want, and it saves it off as a million different formats, from WAV to MP3 to OGG and all that sort of thing. So yeah, have a look at that one. That's Windows only. On the Mac, you can add to, if you right click on any text file, there's a choice which is add to iTunes as a spoken track, and then it'll do the same thing. It will take the text and it will use whatever your default synthesizer on the Mac is make an MP3 of it and stick it in your library in iTunes.
Yeah, that is a great tip, actually. And it's something I've used a lot. You know, sometimes you have an article, maybe I've downloaded something from the web, and, you know, I just think, right, I'll convert that to a text document and then turn it into an MP3 file, which is absolutely brilliant. Okay, well, thank you for that. And thank you, everybody, for your feedback as well. And speaking of feedback, well, last week on the show, you heard Robin talk about how he doesn't want any sound feedback on his phone. He'd rather have haptic feedback. But this week, he's changed his mind when it comes to Microsoft Office.
Adding more sound feedback to your Microsoft Office experience. Now, I'm well aware that recently I did a demo where I turned sounds off in iOS, and now I'm going to do a quick review of how you can add more sounds in Microsoft Office applications. Well, make of that what you will. But I think it's brilliant to have feedback, particularly as sometimes it can take a while for things to happen. In Word, for example, it's quite a meaty program, and unless you've got a really fast computer, there is a bit of waiting from time to time, and it's really useful to be able to get a bit of feedback. So let's show you how that works. So I'm in a folder.
Don't let your fingers do the talking - the power of voice to drive our digital lives .docs.
Here we are on a document. I've slowed the speech down. Hopefully that's okay. And if I hit enter on it,
opening - word.
Now we haven't got the sounds turned on at the moment. Taking a while.
Don't let your fingers do the talking -
And then if I move down through the document.
For our series of articles focusing on arthritis, left paren, and more broadly for everyone.
So if I bring up the spell checker, for example.
Editor, editor overview, zero results. Review all button to activate.
So that's without sounds. Now, if I...
Backstage view, file list box, info, 5 of 15.
Bring up the file menu if I arrow up a few times.
Open, home, back, options.
Here we go to options. If I hit enter on that.
List box word options, general, 1 of 11. To move to an item, press the arrow keys.
I'll hit E for ease of access.
Ease of access.
Tab.
Ease of access. Make your document accessible to others. Keep accessibility checker running while I work. Checkbox not checked. To check, press spacebar.
Maybe that's one for another demo, but if I tab again.
Provide feedback with sound. Checkbox not checked.
So this is under the accessibility, the ease of access area, which is why you may not have come across it. So this is additional sounds for people who want to have sort of extra feedback about what's going on. So if I hit spacebar.
Checked.
And enter to close this.
Edit.
Okay, guys. I'm going to close Word now. Oh, we've heard our first sound.
Items view multi-select list box. Don't let your finger...
And we're back in File Explorer. If I hit enter to open up Word now.
Opening dash Word. Opening dash Word. Don't let your fingers do the talking.
Now, if I hit F7, say.
Editor, editor
nice
overview, zero results. Review
bloop.
All button. To activate, press enter. Corrections card list box. Corrections colon 3 expanded.
So let's go into the corrections.
Grammar colon resolve subject - verb disagreement. Come, suggestions. Comes 1 of 1. C-O-M-E-S.
So there you go. If I hit Alt-C to accept that change.
Grammar colon add a comma with conjunction.
I'll stop it there. So we heard a nice little sound. So you get feedback all the way through. I'll close this dialog with escape.
Don't let your fingers do the talking.
Say we wanted to find something with Control F. Heard another nice little sound there. Hit escape. Okay, so if I do Control S for save, for example, that's the sound of saving. Normally speaking, Control S wouldn't give you any feedback at all. So there you go. Loads of sounds, and it's not just in Word, it's in Outlook, Excel, PowerPoint, etc. You will now have a much more tuneful experience with Office, and hopefully a lot more reassuring feedback. I'm certainly leaving this on, have done for several months now, really like it. Brilliant.
Yeah, I
back
do
to the
like
studio.
That. Thank you for that, Robin. That is very good. That does help a lot, I think, in you know, just making the experience of Office just a bit more alive in your head.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, really just more feedback, basically. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing we don't have an issue with here on Tech Talk, for sure. We're going to get back to the emails soon.
News from the internet.
But come on, you know, we can't not talk about the Big Apple event. September the 10th is when it's all happening. And what do we think we're going to see? Now, I know we'll talk about the one more thing in a minute, because I think both of us actually think there's going to be one more thing. I don't think it's what you think it's going to be.
I'm just wishing.
I've got an idea as to what it might be, but what we're likely to see, what? New phones?
Yes, three new phones.
Yeah.
With improved cameras and maybe a bump to the iPads, or that might be in an October event.
I don't think we'll see iPads, if I'm honest. No, I don't think we'll see iPads. I think we'll probably see, you're right, three phones. So what I've been reading about is that they're not going to bring out an iPhone SE 2, which is what I want. I want an iPhone SE 2.
Yep.
Because I love the iPhone SE. I've got one here, and I love it. I love the form factor. It's small. It can be hit off a wall, and it still works. And trust me, it's happened a lot, especially when I was learning voiceover. But I love the form factor of it. And I don't understand why, with the launch of the Google Pixel 3a, which is £400, why you wouldn't want one of these to be on the market somewhere. But what they are suggesting, or what we're hearing, is that there is going to be the iPhone XR is going to come down in price to what, around about £700, £699 is going to be the price, apparently. Again, this is all rumour, but don't you think there's market somewhere for a kind of iPhone SE?
I do. I mean, whether we're very unusual these days and everybody, even women with, you know, small hands and small pants pockets, trouser pockets.
I'm just going to let you go with that one. I don't know where you're going.
With small pants. Are getting used to bigger phones. I mean, my daughter has a 10R and she just has to carry it around in her hand all the time, and that's not good. That's not a good thing.
I think that's deliberate, though, don't you think? I think that's just basically, you want to show the thing off. Having it in your pocket's not really going to do anything for the company's awareness, is it?
Well, I mean, having said that, she's usually wearing leggings or something, and there's not a single pocket on her person, so the size of the phone wouldn't actually make any difference. But, I mean, it's a big, chunky bit of phone to have in your hand all the time. I personally like the smaller form factor. I like Touch ID, so I can't see a way forward until in a couple of years' time we start to bring a fingerprint sensor-related Touch ID back, which is in the rumour mill.
Which says a lot about Face ID, if you ask me. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really like or rate Face ID. I think it's a bit of a nuisance to me, because I tend to live my life with my phone at my ear, not in front of me, and I cannot seem to get the judgment right to have the phone looking at me. I most of the time get it okay, and then sometimes, inexplicably, it just will not work. I wonder if that will change with the new update with iOS 13. Apparently, it's going to be, 30% faster opening the phone using Face ID. I hope that's true.
But, I mean, I use it in my pocket most of the time, so that's definitely not going to see my face there.
And I love that about the SE. I can have my AirPods in, I can have my Bluetooth keyboard, I don't even need to bring the phone out. I love it. So yeah, there are going to be new phones. Unlikely we'll see an SE 2, although you never know with Apple what they're planning. But the rumour mill is usually fairly accurate. We're looking at a new XR, looking at a new iPhone 11. We shall see. I'm not overly excited, if I'm totally honest. But then I'm not in the market for a new phone at the moment, so maybe that's why. My wife is, so she's watching this with interest. I think there'll be some new colours as well. I think we're seeing green, and is it green and lavender? Is that the same?
Sounds very Apple-esque, doesn't it?
It does a bit, yeah. Is lavender blue?
Oh, I'm rubbish. There's different types of lavender, isn't
there? I don't know. Well, I'm colourblind, so frankly, it could be white for all I know.
Could you not persuade her to have your phone?
Take the excess off me. I would actually. Yes, I would be tempted to. If an SE 2 came out, this sounds crazy, right? But if an SE 2 came out, I'd buy that. I'd give her the 10S for sure. Because I just don't. I'm not overly keen on it at all. I think we're also going to see a new watch. And this does interest me. Now, not so much because of the watch itself. I know there's going to be lots of new features coming. A lot of the features seem to be under the hood and are more software driven. I don't think we're going to see a massive change to the Apple Watch. I've seen nothing that suggests that.
But there will be a fifth generation. option and something else, but I can't remember what it is.
Or ceramic and titanium.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah, so basically what they're going to say is it's going to cost a lot more. That's what they're going to tell you. The ceramic one costs a fortune. I think it was like £1,200 the last time I saw that.
Oofed.
Yeah, exactly. Oofed indeed.
Oofed indeed.
So a lot of cash. So yeah, but I am keen for one reason, and that is because more phone networks have now opened up to being able to handle cellular Apple Watches as well as the iPhones. Now, what that means is that your phone and your watch can be independent of one another. So you could be maybe going to the gym, or you could be in an office, perhaps, and you leave your phone in your bag, and you know take your watch with you wherever you go, and then maybe it's out of range of the phone, which means it's essentially not going to connect if you get a message or a call through. Whereas having that SIM card in there will give you those options. It will also give you the ability to listen to podcasts. That's something that they've brought in the new version of the operating system for the watch. So you'll be able to listen to podcasts like this one on the move, on the watch, without the phone there. And I actually quite like that feature, because there's a lot about the watch that I sometimes feel I'd use more of this, but I'll just use my phone. Because ultimately, they're just sitting next to each other most of the time anyway, right? My phone's never that far away. Whereas if this watch is able to be independent, and I'm talking here about O2, because they're the network that have just been added to the list, then that intrigues me. If I can have my Apple Watch on my on cellular as well as the iPhone, I think that works really well. And I love the fact that it's the same phone number. You know, so you don't have to have the hassle of a different phone number. That's not how it works. It keeps the same number and essentially splits your SIM card in two. You know, and that's how it works. So I'm quite keen on that.
Do they charge more for that luxury?
Oh, come on, of course they do. Of course they do. And if it's titanium, it'll be like £1 million. have you considered the Apple Watch, Robin? I've never asked you this question, I don't think.
Got one on my wrist right now. I have the 38mm... because I just, you know, think it looks a little bit smaller.
You've got a dainty wrist.
Well, so that's obviously dates the watch. It's not the fourth gen, because they're now in 40 and 44 rather than 38 and 42.
I'm but yeah, the 44, I really like just it. Saying.
Yeah. And I really, really, really like it. I'm excited about watchOS 6 because I've heard a few rumours, you know, that you've touched upon there, but it's like a whole new version that I'm going to be able to explore because I've been using iOS 13 betas across the summer. There's no surprises in there, although there is lots of good stuff that I'm sure we'll talk about after the event. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watchOS 6. It'll be like having a new watch, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I do really like the idea of the watch. You've not got an Apple Watch, have you, Andy?
No, I swore myself off of Apple a couple of years ago and went to Android, and on my wrist is a Fitbit. And it's interesting you bring up all of those features you just mentioned, because Fitbit have recently just announced the Versa 2, which is the newest one in their line, which also does everything you said, apart from having the ability of having a SIM card built in. So this is really bad timing on their half, because they're launching a new product, and all of a sudden now Apple are going to come out with something that's just going to blow them out of the water.
Well, the thing, I mean, Apple have had the cellular option for a while.
Yeah.
So that's not new. But it's more the operators having it. That's what intrigues me, because my network has got it, and I'm like, oh, hello, that means I can have this now. Whereas I think up until then it was Vodafone and EE were the only networks in this country that had it. Now it's O2 as well. But yeah, the Fitbit's interesting. I mean, a lot of people tend to be not keen on that because of the accessibility, and let's be frank about it, there isn't any.
Yeah, I was going to ask about this, if you'd ever tried any of the Fitbit range to see just how accessible they were, because there's no talkback on it.
No talkback at all,
no,
which is not great. However, if you're using it purely for getting fit, then it is the app on the Fitbit app is fully accessible.
Yeah,
so you can track everything on there. But again, that means you need to keep your app open while you're doing your gym stuff. And,
yeah,
I don't know.
The price comparison between the Apple product that's coming out, you're saying all these figures, and the new one for the Fitbits, pushing just over £200, so there's a completely different price bracket between the two options.
Of course, if you really want another alternative to the Apple Watch, if you're thinking, I don't want an Apple Watch, I do want a smartwatch, but I want it to be accessible, then look at Samsung. Samsung have got new watches out. All of them are accessible. They have some form of screen reader. Some even have a bit of extra magnification on them. I wouldn't say that it's fully featured, but then, in fairness, it's such, one of these things that so few blind people seem to be buying these watches on the basis of them being accessible that it's very hard to know. We had David Woodbridge on the show recently, Robin, and we had talked to him about this, that, you know, he actually quite liked the Samsung. I don't know if he liked it over the Apple, though.
Yeah, well, he's done some really good podcasts. His IC podcast, all one word, ISW, does lots of practical demos, and he's covered several on that watch. And in there, you'll see some shortcomings, particularly with third-party apps not speaking as well as he'd like, and some first-party ones too. But generally speaking, it's very usable and much, much cheaper. But yeah, we're going to have David on, hopefully to help us round up the events feedback next time.
Yeah, excellent. Well, let's continue because, of course, there are other things we are likely to get updates on. Possibly a new MacBook is the rumour. MacBook Pro, I think this will be. There's talk of them doing away with a 15-inch MacBook Pro and replacing it with a 16-inch one. Okay. right, I'm trying to sort of think here of something positive I can say about this announcement. Ultimately,
better
Macs
keyboard.
Are accessible, right? They're accessible, but they're also very expensive. So, bit of a choice product for people, I think. Great for creatives, obviously. But I don't know, from an accessibility point of view, it is a great machine, but it costs a lot of money. So, you know, if you're a top-end one at the moment, I think it's something like £2,800.
And you don't get the option of physical function keys anymore. They're all
touch bar,
is a significant consideration to think about.
It is accessible,
seriously.
Though.
It is, and
all
my
accessible.
Next work machine is going to be one of those. So I can tell you, I'll be able to feedback just what how challenging just the touch bar is. So.
Oh, it's so difficult getting a free, you know, MacBook Pro with touch bar, isn't it? What a life you must lead, Robin Christofferson, MBE. Right, look, let's talk about the one more thing, because I want to mention the one more thing. Now, you said at the top of the show that you think it's going to be what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm hoping. You know, the one article out of about 4,000 that are kind of rumours for what's going to happen at the presentation talked about glasses. And, you know, we know that they've been working on a wearable in the glasses department. You know, 2-3%, I said earlier, I'm going to up it to 5%.
5%? You're really standing by your story here.
Well, there's 50p at stake here.
So, I thought it was a Greg's pasty. Hang on a minute. I heard Greg's pasty earlier.
So, you know, one can hope, and I would love that.
Yeah,
obviously, so it's going to be expensive, but all of the AR glasses, and I've tried on quite a few, are all around, well, the 600 is the cheapest, and it's not going to be that expensive. And they go way up to the HoloLens at 3K. So, yeah, I just want something which has got a really good camera and microphone built in. I don't care about the heads-up display, but I guess we'd have to have that by default. But yeah, I'm going to stand by that then. Okay, so what's your take?
Okay, I think it's going to be much simpler than that. I've been reading all these articles, and it keeps bringing us back round to one thing, and that is, you know, you've heard of Tile, which is the little square. Essentially, you can attach them to keys. You use them, yeah.
Yep.
And you've got, like, you can attach them to keys, you could put them in your phone or your wallet, and if you lose your keys or you can't find them, you can use the app. You can even connect it through the A-Lady as well to ask, you know, where are my keys? And they'll start beeping or whatever. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Apple's going to create something like this, and they're going to sell it. And I don't really know why, but they are, according to these rumours I've been reading about. And it'll all be linked through Apple, and it'll be part of your Find My series, because, of course, the Find My iPhone and Find My Wife app, or whatever it is, is out there. Actually, it's called Find My Friends, which always feels really weird when you're looking to see where your wife is, and you think, she's not my friend, she's my wife. But yeah, that's all. They're getting rid of all of that, and they're instead going to have an app called Find My, which will launch in the new iOS 13 in a couple of weeks. And this might be part of that. So it's not as going to. I hope it's not going to be as expensive as a new pair of glasses. But that does sound quite an interesting option, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. And I think whilst they'll pretty much be the same technology that Tile and Tracker ones, are, you know, tags are based on.
How dare you? It'll be Apple, it'll be amazing.
Rocket
it'll be
powered.
Incredible.
Magic sparks, fairy yeah. dust. The one major advantage is that the crowdsourcing element, so if you drop your keys, even though it's Bluetooth, and you walk away, it will still see it on a map where it last communicated with your phone. So you'll be able to have that. But in the meantime, if somebody walks past with who is also a Tile customer, then it will update that. And if they've moved, if somebody has picked them up, then it's going to kind of track them if every time they pass by somebody who's a Tile user. But that's the caveat, if they're a Tile user, whereas this will be every single iPhone. So it will have a much more significant coverage to help potentially find your lost thing. So yeah, I think that's a definite benefit to this. I think the technology is going to be pretty much the same thing otherwise.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, which makes me wonder why they're doing it. I don't really know why, unless it's just to say, you know, hey, look, I've got my Apple Tile. I guess the next thing is, what are we going to call it? I'm thinking of, there was a name that was kind of suggested and mooted. I can't remember what it was now. But I'm thinking of something like Tag or, I don't know.
It's going to be a little white circle with an Apple logo, and they could call it Apple Slice.
Oh, ooh, dear. That's dreadful.
I don't know.
Who put him in charge of jokes this week? Right, okay. Well, we shall, on that bombshell, we'll leave it there. I think you're right. I think about a little round circle. Quite like the sound of that. Okay, let's move away from that, because I want to, just realised, we're almost at the end of the show, guys. We better carry on here, because we haven't done Ask Tech Talk yet. Now, Ask Tech Talk is our weekly opportunity for you to get in touch with a question, any question at all relating to the technology you have, you use every single day, and that maybe we can help you here at Tech Talk, and of course, the Technology for Life team as well, at RNIB, who we're very keen to tell you about, a team of a number of people who are blind and partially sighted themselves, who can source and find information on answers to many questions, and they're keen to stress no question is too silly to be asked. And we certainly say that here. If you get in touch with us here, you can get in touch on email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or you can get us on Twitter using the hashtag AskTechTalk. That's all one word, and of course, don't forget, capitalise the A and the T and the T, so that all screen reader users can read it. Ask Tech Talk, hashtag. If you want to do that, then get in touch with us. Lots of you have been getting in touch and asking your questions. Let's hear this week's.
This week's question comes from Steve. He says, this may seem a simple query, not to me though. I have a Victor Reader Mark II. I can copy DAISY books easily from the DAISY disk to the Victor Reader. I do this by opening both the Victor Reader and the disk on my Windows PC. I set up a new file on the Victor Reader and copy everything from the DAISY disk onto it. Works well with DAISY books. I'm not sure how I copy from a music CD to the Victor Reader. I can do this if I copy to my PC first and then copy from there to the Victor Reader. Is there a way of copying direct from the music CD without having to put it on my PC first? I'm not particularly knowledgeable about technology, but slowly learning through your program. Thanks for any help you can give. Kind regards. That's from Steve.
Well, let's get the answer. And that comes courtesy of Ben Rendell from the Technology for Life team.
Hi there, Steve. Ben here from RNIB's Technology for Life team. In response to your question regarding transferring music from a CD to the stream, unfortunately, this is unlikely to work directly as the files on a CD are in a particular format which the stream is unable to play. In order to play audio files on the stream, they need to be in one of the stream's supported formats, including MP3 files or WAV files. More than likely, what is happening when you transfer music from your CD to your computer and then to the stream, your computer is doing some sort of conversion from the CD format to MP3 or WAV or another format which is supported by the stream. I hope this answers your question. If you require any more information or assistance, please contact the Technology for Life team.
And you can do that by the helpline number, which is 0303 123 9999.
And of course, don't forget the hashtag AskTechTalk on Twitter to get your questions answered from the Technology for Life team. Right, before we go, we've got some breaking news coming in to us about RNIB Overdrive. Paul Porter is at the RNIB for us via Skype just now. Hi to you, Paul.
Hi, Stephen. Yes, that's right. Last week on the show, you had Alison Long talking about our new book download service that's launching later in the year. But Overdrive last week also announced that they're stopping Macs being able to download from the Overdrive site, and that includes the RNIB Overdrive site. So as from tomorrow, the 4th of September, Mac users will no longer be able to essentially use Overdrive to download their books. So, disappointing news for Mac users. But we do have alternatives. If any Mac users have a smartphone or a tablet, then they can use the Dolphin EasyReader app, which I know a lot of our Overdrive customers have switched to in the last year. And that actually is a really simple, easy, effective download tool for Overdrive titles. And of course, you've then got the portability. You're not tied to your Mac to listen to your books. And of course, if you have Windows on your Mac or you have access to a Windows computer, then you can still use the Overdrive Windows app or console to download Overdrive books. So it is a bit, disappointing for Mac users, but there are alternatives out there.
Yeah, okay. And PC users, they're not affected by this?
No, it's simply Mac users. I wouldn't like to speculate how many Mac users there are, because that might start a discussion. But, I think compared to Windows users, there won't be very many.
As many, yeah.
We are also, at the moment, we're testing a new download site. So if anyone has no other means of downloading books, if you're a Mac user, then contact me and we can put you on the testing cycle so that you still have access to books.
And Paul, if people are concerned about this and maybe want to contact you, is there a quick way they can get hold of you?
Yeah, the best way to contact me is via email. So it's paul.porter@rnib.org.uk. Leave your details and I'll get back to you as soon as I can and we can have a discussion.
Brilliant. Paul Porter there for us via Skype at RNIB. Thanks for coming on, Paul. Now let's talk about AbilityNet. Robin, before we go, just a quick word to you about some webinars that are coming up. I know there are lots that take place over there at AbilityNet. Tell us about some that are coming up very soon.
Yes, so just search for AbilityNet webinars, whether you're in HE, higher education, and you want to know about how you can become compliant with the new public sector legislation, or whether you've got arthritis. If you just search for AbilityNet webinars, there's a bunch coming up this week on the 18th as well and the 26th of September. Webinars are regular and cool.
Indeed they are. And that's it from Tech Talk for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Andy, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And Robin, thank you for turning up as always and being amazing as you always are.
Thanks, guys.
And thank you to me for just, being here.
Being you.
That's it. Catch you next time.